This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's interesting. Week 7 in the NFL. We did talk about the Giant game yesterday. We'll get more calls on that in the game. And, you know, just how close or how far away are the Giants? They're 1-6. They look like they're really far away. But watching them compete the last couple of weeks, you just feel like Joe Judge has got, he's got something. He just doesn't have enough to get them over the top. But you just feel like, at least you feel, you know, I think they got a coach. I think they got a structure. I think they got a plan in place. I think there's something here. The decisions going forward now with this franchise, major decisions are there. Evan Ingram makes a catch. I think we're having a completely different conversation today about this team, because they'd be in damn first place.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, we would have, if Evan Ingram makes a catch, that was very catchable, our conversation about the Giants today is completely different.
You talk about Danny Dimes, groin, you know, winning time, what he did to get you there.
Yeah.
You know, all those type of things, making winning plays, situational football. I mean, it's been two teams that maybe the 2009 Seattle Seahawks that hosted, that were under 500, that won a playoff game.
Yeah, 7-9, the 2010. Yeah, they ended up beating the Saints, and they lost to the Bears, right.
And then you
and then a bunch of years later, it was the Panthers. Yeah, 2015, it was 7-8-1.
Yep. So it's opportunity there to say, you know, you could have been dreaming. You could have been having a totally different conversation. And whether you were going to get bounced in the playoffs or not, it would have been an opportunity, one, for your team to get experience of hosting winning a division. And listen, nobody cares what that record was when you hoist that banner, and that banner's up in that stadium. They just know that you were the champs, you know, that division. And it would have been a great opportunity. It's like weird, man. It's like one of those things. I always say that what's that show we talk about where it was like Jim Belushi? Well, I always talk about the movie when he hit the ball.
Mr.
Destiny or Mr. Wonder or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Destiny. I think that's what it is.
It's like that, right? If Evan Ingram just catches that ball, like, how does that change the trajectory of how we are feeling about this?
Cobra Kai. If Johnny Lawrence beats Danny LaRusso,
yeah,
does his life change?
You ain't nothing, Russo. You ain't nothing.
But he loses, and his life like went to crap. And we see him all these years. I love Cobra Kai, by the way.
What? Yeah, I'm hoping it's not Evan Ingram. I'm hoping it's not something that tanks Evan Ingram. You know, that he gets.
They said all the right. Did you find it interesting? The judge, even Daniel Jones, like, they both were quick to just, you know, not be critical. You know, talk about, like, Judge right away was like, oh, no, we got to get him more targets. You know, he's a big part of what we do. Daniel Jones, like, I got to put the ball in a better place for him. Where else are you going to put it? Are you going to hand it off to him?
That's the only way you can guarantee that he get it.
I mean, gee, like he should have caught that ball. You're an NFL tight end. You've been in the league long enough. That's a catch.
But listen, I drop that.
Yeah. He doesn't drop that.
I know what they say publicly, but listen, I've been on both sides of these things. I've been, you know, sitting there talking to people saying, oh, he's good, and then the guy get cut the next day. And I've been in there, like, with Rex, when somebody does something and looking at them while they watch film, and they talk like him about like a dog. Like, this bum is, God, we got to get him out of here.
So behind the scenes, you're getting, like, the real.
Yeah, you get the real. Thing. Like, you know, if players knew how coaches talk about them behind the scenes in their meetings, they would want to fight each and every one of them, because it's disrespectful. So much that if your mom heard that, she would try and come up here with her pan and knock people's heads off. So listen,
don't
they
say that about my baby. Don't
yeah, so they
it.
Saying something publicly, but they saying, this guy is the biggest waste of God-given talent I've ever seen in my life.
But dude, publicly, they're like, no, he's great. We love him.
I seen better hands on a clock.
I got hands like feet.
Exactly.
That's a French-Canadian thing in hockey. They always said, you got hands like feet. Why did I sound Russian? I don't know. 800-919-3776. Justin's in Queens. See, he's got the same perspective kind of I do. Go ahead, Justin.
Yo, what's up, guys? Hey, Bart, I always wanted to say this to you. It can't stop a nosebleed. I say that all the time. And Alan, with the Knicks, man,
all you have to say is with the Knicks, man, and then we'll both just take a moment of silence. I completely get it. Trust me.
Just exhale, like, Listen.
Yeah.
I feel bad because my fandom, I'm a Met Jet Nick guy, my fandom is a punchline, and I'm tired of it. Like, oh, you like the Jet? It's like a punchline.
Oh, I feel
anyway,
it. Yeah.
I'm a big Jet fan. I hate the Giants. All my uncles, cousins are Giants fans. My wife is a Giant fan, so, you know, I'm always hearing it. But at least they look like a professional team. They could have beat the Rams. They could have beat the Cowboys. They could have won last night. right? They got gifted last week, but whatever. But that tells me that things are on, you know, they're looking up. It's because of coaching. Adam Gase is the worst coach I've ever seen in my whole entire life, dude. My whole life. And that, Bart, you know, you've been in
the Jim Tom Sula was a really bad coach in San Francisco. Like, that year for San Francisco was really bad. You know what I mean? But Adam Gase, what he's doing with a young quarterback and a team that you actually had enthusiasm for because of their youth, is it has to be by far the most maddening thing I've ever seen or any of the teams I've ever rooted for. And I mean, again, Rich Kotite, I lived through those years as a fan. And even then, you're like, but they had, you know, like, there was talent there. They didn't perform well. They were poorly coached. But this is completely different because of how desperate you were as a fan. Justin, I appreciate the call and the perspective. Thanks for that. Like, that's where I'm at with that. But you know what? Let's get off this stuff. Let's talk about good teams and good games we're going to see this weekend. Let's do that now at Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, Bart, let's go. I like this game. 49ers at the Patriots. 49ers are 3-3. The Pats are 2-3. We said this is the latest they've been under 500 in a season since like 2002. Pats are favored 2.5. It's 4 o'clock game on CBS. So on Halloween, how about this? It will be exactly 3 years since Jimmy G was traded from the Pats for a second round pick to the Niners. Now, since getting to San Francisco, Jimmy G has started 28 of a possible 46 regular season games. Remember, he had that bad knee injury.
Yep.
Now he's led to the Super Bowl, but couldn't deliver. On Sunday, back to Foxborough, back to Patriot Place for the first time since the trade. But yet, do we really know how good he is or how good he's going to be yet? So he makes his return. That's one storyline. But both teams really need to get a win in this. So let me blitz or prevent. New England will not rue the day that they traded Jimmy G. He's a good quarterback. But it's not like he was going to replace Tom Brady like Aaron Rodgers replaced Brett Favre.
No, listen, Jimmy G has been average at best. They went to the Super Bowl in spite of him, not because of him. It was based off of that defense and that running game. And when he had to make big plays, he wasn't able to step up. Listen, this is an example of really they should do celebrity wife swap. Because I think right now, if you put Cam on that team and if you put Jimmy G back on the Patriots, they are one of the very few that know how to get the best out of him. If you put Cam in that read option, running the football, you know, throw the ball down the field, he's like a bigger, more accurate version of Kaepernick when they had that, you know, success. So I think, you know, really it's weird because they both should be gushing over each other's quarterback because I think one are looking at him like, man, if I had him, look what I would be doing. And I think Kyle Shanahan is like, man, if I had Cam Newton, man, holding the backside safety, you think this run game is potent now. Imagine what it'd be like if I had that guy.
Do we have a trade? Would you consider? Because, you know, remember, Belichick wanted Jimmy G to be the heir apparent. And Tom didn't like having him around. And Robert Kraft, the report goes, overruled and said, nope, let's get him out of here.
Yeah.
And like I said, it seemed like, oh, no, the Patriots really, they screwed up. That was their quarterback of the future. But watching Jimmy G, he's good. But it's not like I wouldn't sit there like feeling like you just traded away Aaron Rodgers or anything like that. All right. Next game is Steelers at the Titans.
Ooh-wee.
A battle of the undefeateds. Both 5-0, 1 o'clock game. Tennessee favored. They're at home, favored by one. It's basically a pick 'em. So this is the first meeting of 5-0 teams in 5 years in the NFL. And the last unbeaten teams in the AFC, as I mentioned. So this is basically, Bart, about the immovable object meeting the unstoppable force, as we always say.
Oh, absolutely.
Derrick Henry's physical running style. Josh Norman is still spinning off in space like Darth Vader at the end of New Hope, right? He goes up against a tough Steelers defense, which owns the best run-stop win rate in the NFL. One thing to keep an eye on, Titans offensive line lost their star left tackle, Taylor Wan, to a torn ACL. So Ryan Tannehill better watch his back. Blitz or prevent. Will this game tell us which team is the best in the AFC? Or do the Ravens and Chiefs still own that real estate?
Well, I think it's a traffic jam right there, right? Because you think about, you know, the Chiefs, you think about the Ravens, you think about, you know, Tennessee, but you also think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, who quietly have been going about their business for a couple years. Big Ben took an L last year, came back, and now they got better finding this guy, Clay Claypool. And ain't it crazy how some organizations just continue to stumble on great receivers.
Stumble.
So they get Claypool, and I was calling for Claypool, but they went from Claypool, Santonio Holmes, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. I forgot the one kid that they had, Wheaton or whatever his name was. Hines Ward, Plexico Burris. Like, come on, man. How you get all the good receivers? They just don't know how to identify them, and they play well. They have a great program.
It's called good scouting.
Yeah, man. But
that's all it is. You're mining for gold.
But then you think about, you would say, like, no Lawan, maybe advantage the Tennessee Titans, but, you know, no Devin Bush. So now you got this kid out here named Robert Spline, and I heard he's a killer, but he's going to have to be a killer if he's going to go against Derrick Henry, who's been collecting bodies.
Ooh.
You know, so this is going to be a physical football game, and just the way that the Tennessee Titans like it, but also how, you know, you think about how the Steelers like it as well. You got two coaches that are candidates for Coach of the Year. What Vrabel's been able to do, you know, making the Vrabel rules, understanding the rules, stealing games for his team just with his football acumen. And Mike Tomlin's just one of the most straight up and down guys that you root for. One of the best coaches.
Absolutely.
That don't get put in there, probably a potential Hall of Famer. Never had a losing season under him. He's been there 10, 11 years. Never had a losing season. Always have him in contention. And I tell you what, man, it's going to be an amazing matchup, man. And the most physical team's going to win. Remember, these teams and these organizations were built with each other. They used to be the AFC North. It used to be Jacksonville, Tennessee Titans, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Steelers. So listen, they are built in each other's image, and they know what this is all about. This is going to be we call a double chin strap game. I can't wait to watch it.
You know what sucks is that the Jets play at 1 o'clock, and we won't get to see it here in New York.
Man, that's what. Damn, I will. I'm asking why. I got all the channels.
But that part, that's the part where I just, like, I'd rather watch this game. I mean, 5-0 teams going head-to-head, and two tough defense, two tough teams. All right, last but not least, this game, too. This was moved to Sunday Night Football. You know what I'm talking about. Seahawks-Cardinals. Seahawks 5-0 also. Cardinals 4-2. Been interesting this year. Seattle is laying 3.5 on the road. How about that? But there's a reason for it, and I'll tell you in a minute. I got some useless stats for you. So as I mentioned, this game was moved to Sunday night after the COVID concerns surrounding the Raiders-Bucks game. And why not put this one on a national stage? It's growing into a bit of a rivalry. Kyler Murray is putting up prolific numbers in his first 2 years that are very similar to what Russell Wilson did in his first 2 years. Both offenses can light up a scoreboard, and the Seahawks defense has allowed opponents to light up the scoreboard. This game could be a lot of fun, Bart. And here's one useless stat. The Seahawks have won 6 straight games in Arizona. Does that mean anything this year? Maybe not, but it's still a trend. Now, here's a useful one if you're betting the over-under, which is 56 in this game, between these two high-octane offenses. How about this one? The Cardinals are the only team this season to have every game go under. Interesting, right? So, Blitzer Prevent. We mentioned the Steelers and the Titans at 5-0. Seattle's the only NFC team still undefeated. If they get to 6-0, how much do you trust the Seahawks to be a legit Super Bowl contender with that defense?
I mean, they're legit, and they're going to double down on their strength because it's been reports that they want to bring in Antonio Brown. If they bring in Antonio Brown, they still have Josh.
Still waiting Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, and you pair that with Megatron on super crack hit. Crack Megatron. Like, this dude, I don't know, like, his muscles got muscles. Like, he's like evolution.
Mountain Dew Megatron.
Yeah, like, he's like evolution. You know, if you bring him in, then it's just, it gets ridiculous. But they're going to have to outscore each other because, like I said before, they're the legion without no boom. But, you know, when you look at Arizona, this is interesting, right? Because when I think about Arizona, I think about how bad that defense is. And I think about Kyler Murray being able to buy time and extend drives with his legs, not his arms. And then you think about, you know, how DeAndre Hopkins should, in, you know, in theory, eat. You talk about Cam Newton putting over 350 yards passing on him. What can the team that really tries to focus on the pass can do with him? This is going to be an intriguing matchup.
So, all right, so do you trust, as I asked, do you trust the Seahawks? I mean, if the Seahawks win, they're 6-0. I mean, it's 6-0. That would have to, you'd have, oh, well, that's a Super Bowl contender. But can they really be a legit one with that defense?
I think they can be legit as long as they don't run into teams like the Carolina, I mean, I'm not Carolina, like the Saints or like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
who are balanced.
That, yeah. The Packers as well, because, you know, you can play keep away and keep Russell Wilson on the bench.
Going to be interesting to watch, right? That's Blitzer Prevent. Great job. Those are some good games, right? I mean, we got some good games this week as we're now settling into the season. We're starting to get a trend of what these teams are going to do. And, you know, we'll see what happens to that Raiders-Bucks game now. That's an interesting story, isn't it? So, what was it? One of the offensive linemen?
Yeah, Trent Brown. Trent Brown
wasn't wearing his
positive. He wasn't wearing his device. So then they had to test everybody else. All reports say that they came back with no new positive. But who knows? It's just that Nick Saban stuff, and they just have to play the game, and they don't care.
Just punch it in the face.
Or they're not doing their due diligence. But, you know, you think about the Raiders and, you know, coming off that huge win against Kansas City, I think that you shouldn't punish them and make them have to play the game with backup linemen. I think you should just forfeit the game or maybe wait and move the game to maybe one of those Wednesdays or Thursdays. We had a game on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We had it. They probably can't
get Thursday. You imagine if they play a Wednesday game and the only day left in the week that you don't play NFL would be Friday? Like, they have every single day of the week, basically, you would see a game this season.
That's dope.
Except Friday.
Listen, now, they all put a big takeover.
Well, you know what? Baseball doesn't want that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Baseball, so they're back to the World Series is back today. You have game three today. It's a very interesting one, too, by the way. I think Charlie Morton's going to be he could flip this entire series the way he's been pitching, right? And his experience.
And it's going to be, it'd be the same thing that they did because of the Yankees. Instead of putting Buehler out,
I always believe that if you can take a 2-0, you take a 2-0.
Yep.
You take that 2-0 and you ride with it. But anyways, so they're opting. So they come back. They're doing their two games in an off day, two games in an off day. They're going to play Friday. I believe it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they'll play Sunday night up against the Sunday night football game, but they will not play Monday night. Monday night's the off day. In the World Series. They're trying to stick to the regular form of the 2-3-2, so the off days are when you're supposed to have the so-called travel day. But it is interesting that they don't play on Thursday night, so the debate and Thursday night football were last night.
Wow.
So you don't go up against that, and then Monday night you avoid the Monday night football game as well. And we're seeing the ratings. Sports ratings across the board are down for pretty much everybody except the WNBA.
Right.
That one actually went up. But everybody else is suffering losses on their viewership, and it's probably because I think it's saturated. Everybody's playing at the same time. But the NFL still dominates. It still dominates. World Series is their record low in viewership, and it could be for a myriad reasons. But it's interesting that they're not going up against the NFL on Thursday night and a Monday night. All right, let's 800-919-3776 get back to the calls. Eric is in Tampa. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm originally from the Bronx. I'm a New York fan. We don't have too much to talk about with New York. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm one of those weird New York fans that I like all my teams, but I'm really a Jet, Knicks, Yankees. But I don't root against all the other teams. But what I got to say is, since we don't have too much to talk about New York teams, what I got to say is that, you know, ESPN chooses you athletes to announce, and I'm pretty impressed of your crossover knowledge on all the other sports. Bart, you really impressed me with the baseball knowledge and your basketball knowledge. That's impressive. And I got to say that, you know, I don't know how you didn't get drafted, dude. That's crazy.
I was a really good linebacker, man.
I was Bobby Boucher, man.
I was out in Southern Illinois chilling in Carbondale. They ain't seeing scouts down there, man.
Yeah, you were you're the diamond in the rough that it take like a team, like you said, like the Steelers, Ravens. There's teams that put in the work that find players.
Yep.
And that's what happens. Yeah, like
James,
you said,
James
how
Harrison,
do the Steelers
James
get all these players? Because scouting does it, and you have that. That's how they found you with scouting.
Yeah, James Harrison also undrafted, right?
Yeah,
got cut six times, but they find talent. They figure out what they don't say. What can't you do? They say.
But
what
I like
can
what he said
do?
Though.
Can we use it?
I like what he said though. So and I DiPietro went through this when he first started doing it, but DiPietro was a huge sports fan even when he was a hockey player. When he was a goalie, he was paying attention to sports talk radio and he was a big baseball fan. He followed baseball closely. So it was already in his blood. But you and Chris, it is something to be said. How you guys were able to go from where you're all football all the time. And obviously that's your strength.
Mm-hmm.
But for you when you first got into Sports talk radio.
I had never watched baseball really ever in my life.
Watch other sports when you were playing football, or were you all football all the time?
Well, I watched basketball because I'm a huge basketball fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge boxing fan. But, you know, I grew up playing five sports in high school. You know what I mean? I actually did have a basketball.
Yeah, a lot of guys who play sport, play multiple sports, yeah, they don't have time to be fans of a sport.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because football and basketball season are kind of opposite of each other because we're done and they kind of picking up, you know, doing they're like a spring sport, late spring. You know, always been, and I grew up.
November, it's usually November to March.
Right, and
basketball.
I'm from Detroit, so in Detroit it's so much cold weather that, you know, you kind of learn how to, you learn hockey because, you know, the Red Wings where I'm from was a great, great organization, much better than some of the other organizations we had. And you watched football because of Barry Sanders, but you watch, you know, baseball because of Cecil Fielder, Sweet Lou Whitaker, Adam Trammell, and those guys hook you early.
Nice.
You know what I mean? You know, because it's not a lot to be proud of in Detroit because, you know, it's not the greatest city. It's my city, but it's not the greatest city. And so, like, you watch a lot of TV because of the weather. That's why anybody that you ever run up on from Detroit and you want to bowl, they're going to kick your ass because we ain't got nothing else to do. You know what I'm saying? We can't play spring ball. We ain't got no damn gyms to go to. Ain't no youth centers. We go bowl. That's why Jerome Bennett's probably one of the best bowlers in the world.
I love that. 800. I'll keep that in mind too. If somebody wants to bowl,
like I'll take the black guy from the D.
That's right. 800-919-3776 is the number. So we got audio files coming up, and I just got an email that said, breaking news.
Mm.
Woj Bomb. Woj Bomb.
No, it's actually Woj Bomb. Woj is part of this, but Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst as well.
Chris Paul got traded to the Knicks?
Can't wait.
The NBA Board of Governors is meeting Friday and discussing possible changes to plans for the 2021 season, including starting as quickly as possible, playing fewer than 82 games, and not waiting for fans to be permitted to all leagues' arenas.
This I don't even know what you're talking ESPN. About, Charlie.
I love this. Discussion is starting as soon as Christmas Day.
Ooh.
Yes. This
really?
We need this. Others have been pushing for a start around Martin Luther King Day. Where have you heard that before, Bart? I think I might have brought that up. In January. So this is very interesting. So I'll dive deeper into this. I'll get some info on this, but it looks like the NBA is basically saying we can't wait 5 months. We've got to get back. The draft is in a couple of weeks. It's in November.
It's like, yo, we ain't played basketball in 8 months, man. What's up?
Seriously, if you waited till March, it would be an entire year since you saw Knicks basketball. And I know some of you are saying that's a good thing. But I'm telling you, my bank account is telling me that is not a good thing. But that's significant news, man. I mean, that was a little message that came out.
So
it's now on ESPN.com. Woj just literally tweeted it just now. Literally, as we speak, the tweet popped up.
Since LeBron just trying to get another championship because it was reported that he started working out yesterday. Like, he's back at the gym already.
Well, again, you can't ask these players. Again, it's been months since these guys have played. And I've said this. You're watching the NFL. And you're seeing how are they getting through their season. Last night you had fans, not a lot, but you had some in the building at the Link. Right? You're getting people in the building, and you're going through a season. How do you handle it when you have a little outbreak, when you have a couple of players who test positive? They are traveling. Now, they aren't traveling nearly as much as an NBA team would travel. But you're thinking, or at least hoping, and maybe they're getting some advisement from the government, that, you know, whether it's January, whether it's February, at some point you will have the ability to have maybe rapid, frequent testing where you could have even, whether it's a vaccine or treatment, some way, somehow, that you can manage it and keep your business going. Because as I mentioned, you said the Lakers. The Lakers lost over $50 million by not finishing last season.
They won a Super Bowl. I mean, they won a championship.
Yeah. The Knicks lost $45 million by just not finishing the season. The entire NBA lost $750 million in total because of the fact that they didn't finish the regular season, and the bubble came at a price of $250 million. That is $1 billion in loss in one calendar year. You can't sustain that. No one can. Not as rich as they are, you can't do it. And the ratings are down as well. They have to play somehow, some way. Now, in the report, this is Woj, it's Windy, and also Zach Lowe. Next Friday, which is the 30th, is setting up to be the key day. That the league and the union agreed that day will be a deadline to complete their ongoing discussions on modifications to the CBA. It's always going to be about money, everybody, for the 2021 season. So they have to provide 45 days notice to either terminate the CBA, and that, of course, is a remote possibility, but that could happen. So what you have to do is have your agreement. You might not play a full season, but it also – that the 30th is basically 8 weeks to Christmas, and so that's why that time frame is very important. So we'll know by next week – that's soon, whether or not the NBA will say, okay, so we're going into November. When we begin December, training camps will open. And then by Christmas Day, we'll have our opening day. And we're going to have a modified schedule somehow, some way, but we're going to play. And also, that's what we have to see, whether it's Christmas or whether it's just a couple weeks later on Martin Luther King Day. One or the other, it looks like the league is looking to get back into business that quickly. And I think that is extremely important, Bart.
I mean, you talk about, you know, trying to make sure that you can maintain the health of your league. You know, also talking about being able to not have to compete with a lot of other sports. Now, I know baseball, I mean, football and basketball has always kind of been hand-to-hand. It's kind of like you hand it off to the NBA.
Yeah.
And they want to dominate the time slots that they've been dominated. And they understand that people are all eyes at this point. You know, you get to December, most of the fans have given up on their season. Okay. Like, we understand that here. So they're ready to transition to the next thing. And the next thing has always been on our schedule, the NBA. So you talk about, hey, if we can not have to expend the $200 million that we did for the bubble, in turn, we can maybe let people come out and have a little social distance tailgating, but also let them into the stadium. Then that's a way that we can maybe cut our losses in half, and we're just trying to stay afloat for one more season. As you know, eventually we'll start getting more money for these streaming of games and on our own content. And I believe that the NBA is definitely going to maybe have to fast forward or speed up the whole gambling situation where people can gamble on and they can get a percentage because they own it. The rights. What do you call it when you are the? I forgot what he said it was. Intellectual property.
Yes.
Right. So the intellectual property, and they charged all the casinos, all the online gambling sites 1%.
Well, again, it's the money is the bottom line. The players don't want to put anything into an escrow. That's they're discussing that as well, because if you take some of the money from the players, the NHL had to do this because of lost revenue, and you put it all in escrow until you figure out at the end of the season what are we at, and then we'll give you that money back if we don't lose it. You know, again, we've been told that in Q3, the third quarter of the 21 year, which is basically midsummer, that's when the CDC says we can expect to get back to normal life, what we knew before the pandemic. Well, that would essentially be when the playoffs are going on in the NBA, and I think they would want that. You can start filling your building again. So, yeah, again, still preliminary. We're watching it now, but a report on ESPN.com.
Allen just said you're going to be in the playoffs. You can start filling it up next.
Yeah. I would never do that. All right, so we'll keep an eye on this report. You can react at 800-919-3776 at Barton Hahn on social media as well. But right now, some interesting stuff on the football side of things, including a potential coaching candidate for the Jets on Audio Files.
The Audio File.
First and foremost, as we told you, the Raiders-Bucks game was moved from Sunday night just because there was COVID issues with the Raiders' offensive line that they have had to react to. So they were taken out of Sunday night, made into a regular Sunday afternoon game. So far, it's on. Diana Russini with the latest on the Raiders' situation from Get Up this morning.
The league and the NFLPA reviewed what was going on in Vegas, and they were able to discover that Trent Brown was not wearing his tracing device. That way we can get that information, who he's been around. So that's one problem. The second problem is they did discover on video a couple offensive linemen not wearing their masks during practice. So now they're being very cautious. Basically, anyone who's been around each other and has tested positive for COVID is quarantining. So what does that mean? Well, it looks like on Sunday morning, this team could be without their offensive linemen. What's going to happen is they're going to get tested for COVID-19 on Sunday morning. Based on those results, a decision will be made about the game.
So we still aren't 100% sure they're going to play, but we're hoping that it gets to that. But it's just, you know, each week you got to manage this stuff, Bart. Do you place any blame on anyone?
Yeah, I blame it on Troy Brown because he needs to know better because they can't, you know, socially distance or they can't contract trace to see where he's been, who potentially he
Why would
affected.
You take that off?
They get lazy. This is the same organization that had an event and nobody had masks on fans
yes.
or the team. Right, we talk about John Gruden being fine, not having his mask up. And, oh, by the way, he's had COVID as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Sometimes you have pandemic fatigue, and I think these guys are just getting tired of the routine. They got to understand this is necessary, and we wouldn't be asking you to do it if it wasn't very important.
All right, I always believe that things sound better in Spanish. It's my favorite language. I love Spanish. And so when anything happens, I love getting the Spanish version of it because it's like when you watch the Spanish soap operas. The women are just more beautiful. It's also a little more daring. There's just something better about it. So when Daniel Jones went for his 80-yard run and fell short, I guess, 5-10 yards, whatever it was, of the end zone, it just fell, which we've all felt that, maybe not all of us, maybe you'd never
that
did.
That piano gets on your back.
Dude, we just sort of felt that. Yo, and all, heart rate, you take one wrong step and now you're like, I'm going to go. Like, it's just, you're done. Like, it's just one of those moments. So here's the call from Fox Deportes. Adrian Garcia Marquez.
Van por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir. Se puede ir. Y se fue. No. El balón se cayó. Se tropezó. Vio la zona festiva y estaba celebrando.
The fact that
no.
He's like, no.
What happened? No. You that messed up my call.
Now, luckily, he was able to laugh about it. Later, a few plays later, Wayne Gallman takes it into the end zone.
Yeah, he had Jeff forever, though.
Man, nah, but that... We're
the butt fumble.
That is not anywhere near the butt fumble. But it was a very Jetsy thing to happen for a Giant. Very Jetsy.
Great play, turned into a Jeff. Now, people don't understand. Like, sometimes you come in the studio or you go anywhere, you watch the games, you got all these monitors. But when you get to about 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock... It's a commercial that comes on, and for you young guys, you may not understand what it is, but it's a response commercial to make sure that if you get in trouble, you can call for help. And it goes a little like, "I've fallen and I can't get up." And that's Daniel Jones, man. He's gonna be a GIF, man. We're down, and Danny Dimes signal is a symbol of how far New York sports have come. No championships in the rear view, none in the front view either. Hopefully, Danny Dimes don't become a GIF. Because you know when Twitter gets a hold of it, they go mad. I wonder if they can make the white Michael Jordan face within his face when he got up crying.
Or you just have something chasing. Like somebody said he fell like the white girl in a horror movie.
Exactly. Like, yeah, he gonna
anyways, die. That's that. Well, hopefully Sam Darnold doesn't have one of these moments as he returns to the... That's very good. Sam Darnold returns to the field for the Jets this weekend, at least as he's expected to do that. That's what Adam Gase said today. And he does so being chased by Trevor Lawrence, rumors, and the reporters asked Sam about it, and this is his response.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have social media. I've seen some of the things, but we got a game to win this week, and that's all we're worried about.
How do you do that, Sam? How do you just block out stuff like that when I'm sure when you got here you thought, you know, you guys were going to just keep climbing?
Yeah, I mean, for me that's out of my control. You know, I'm here to do my best and help this team win games. You know, that's all I can do, and you know, with that it's preparing every single day as hard as I can and going out to practice and trying to have the best practice I can. You know, that's all I can do.
What else can you say there, right, at that point? You know, there's nothing else he can really say, Bart, other than, yeah, of course I hear it. At least he's not denying it. Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. No, he's being honest. Yeah, of course I see it, but I got to worry about a game this week. I can't worry about anything else.
Yeah, and worrying about a game is worrying about Trevor Lawrence because he know, listen, he was like, yo, I'm out. I'm coming back. I don't care what you say. Flacco, sit down. I'm coming back this week. I don't care how much my shoulder hurt because I cannot put on good film out there and show you guys what I'm capable of doing. Without the same limited weapons that Joe Flacco had, I got to show you that I can do more. And if I get Mims back, then I'm going to try and even do even better. So this is him getting up, understanding he's fighting for his career. Fighting not to be Josh Rosen, you know what I mean?
Oh,
he's fighting not to be Josh Rosen, a guy that we believe can play but never really gets the opportunity because he's going to keep bouncing around.
And if you're the Jets, you're fighting for him to not become Ryan Tannehill. That's what you also don't want. Like, that we had the guy, like Miami. We had the guy. We just had the wrong guy coaching him. Speaking of coaching, Bart, Eric Bieniemy, or as you call him, Eric the Enemy, is somebody that has been a candidate, a head coaching candidate, around the NFL, and people feel like he's the next guy, the offense coordinator with Kansas City, working under Andy Reid. And, you know, we really don't know him. We don't really get to know him much. But if you hear him here right now talking to the media about what makes the Chiefs special and some of the things that he says, you have to imagine. Now, just picture as you listen to this, he's sitting across from you. You're at a desk and you're here to make a hire for head coach. Listen to what he says and tell me if you believe at the end of this conversation, that's my guy.
Sometimes professional sports have a tendency to think that it's all about the numbers and the egos. And sometimes I think people forget that we play a team game. This is what has made us special. Our guys are going to do whatever is needed to go out and win. Because when it's all said and done with, we talk about this each and every week. It's not about the numbers, okay? It's about the alphabets. And the only two alphabets that matter in this industry is a W and an L.
I like that.
Whatever we have to do to get that W, that's all what matters. And then you know what? We're going to come back, put a game plan together for the following week, and we're going to get it going and get ready to go. Yes, ideally, we want all of our players to have all the success that they can. But we do know this. If we can do this together and do it for one another and do it the right way, okay, it'll give us a chance to have a chance to go out and pursue the goals that we want to pursue.
How you feeling about that right now, Bart?
Those are inspiring words, man. I tell him, here's the blank check, man. Here's the blank check. Come on over, man.
Now you almost have to beg him.
Yeah, they bring
it. Like 2 years ago, you probably could have gotten him.
Yep.
But now you almost have to beg him because there are other jobs that are going to be open that, I mean, Deshaun Watson in Houston, would you like to coach there? Atlanta, would you like to coach there with all those weapons? Like, there's going to be better options for him than the Jets.
The only thing is, the Jets is a clean lump of clay, right? Because he can come here, he can have draft capital and off, you know, free agent equity as well. Because he can bring some of those guys over from Kansas City that he knows and say, hey, come over here, I'm trying to start my program. And he has the revenue, he has the opportunity to be able to do it. He go to the Texans, he won't be able to buy anything, won't be able to spend anything. He goes to Atlanta, Matt Ryan is making so much money that it's very limited, you know, flexibility to be able to go acquire talent because of, you know, the lack of funds.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, but we have to get to the end of the season first.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, so we did not win our pick yesterday or last night's game. We both took the Eagles in 4.5. The Eagles won, but only by one, so that was not good for the pocketbook. So we got to make it up today, Bob, with our other two picks. So we have to pick Jets as we do each week, and then we have our own special game. So let's get the Jets part out of the way. It's Jets Bills, and the Bills are favored by 12.5.
And
Sam is most likely to play. Becton most likely to play. Mims still uncertain. Ficken, though, has a groin issue. The offensive line got a couple of banged up guys, and Crowder is limited in practice. Just keep all that stuff in mind as we look at this. And I got to be honest with you, I'm still taking the Bills here. I think they're a better team. Their defense is nasty. I'm going Bills, and I'll give you the 12.5.
So you mean to tell me that a team that has lost two in a row, quarterback looks like he's coming back to earth, you don't believe in the New York Football Jets?
I dare you.
12?
I double dog dare
serious?
You.
Are you kidding
Go.
Me? Josh
Do
Allen
it.
Fumbled twice in the
Do
first
it.
Game. Marcus May got the turnovers.
Do
Can
it.
You imagine now
Come
Sam
on.
Darnold
Can't
has
wait.
Mims
Can't wait.
And Rashad Perriman?
Do
that
it.
Still ain't a damn enough. I'm going to go ahead and take them Buffalo Bills. They pissed off that they just lost two times in a row. And they pissed off they see that the Patriots are right there in their rear view. So I'm going to take the Bills in the 12
nice,
and a half, plus
12 nicely
and a half.
Done. Nicely done.
But 12.
All right. I've been kicking this game around, but then I got some breaking news that now
can't
locks
wait,
it in
can't
for me.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
So I'm looking at Cleveland at Cincinnati. It's a huge game for the Browns at division. They've kind of had the last couple of weeks here. Rough stuff. Odell, you know, been whiny. Baker now hearing rumors about whether or not the Browns should move on from him as the quarterback. All this stuff going on around them, and they're playing the Bengals. It's they're basically 3-point favorites on the road. But key here, Bengals will not have Joe Mixon this weekend.
Ooh.
So I'm taking the Browns. I'm believing in Baker.
You'll believe
and
in
I'll
Giovanni
Bernardi. So that's
Benatti.
My pair. I'm taking Browns. laying three against the Bengals. What do you got?
I tell you what, them Bengals, man, have been playing tough last week.
They've been
tough.
Just
learned how to finish. They're up 21-0. But
yeah, that's the problem. So they're just not there yet. It's 3 points.
I'm going to go to the toughest game of the week.
Oh?
The old slobber knocker. Mm-hmm. The old throwback between two old coaches that I don't know. I might be able to rock with either one of them in an alley fight. You know what I'm saying? I might want to drain
one of them. Got about 20 seconds here.
You got Vrabel versus Mike Tomlin. You're looking at two big bullies. I think Derrick Henry is the ultimate bully in a team that's not used to getting hit in the face. They get hit in the face. But we all believe that the Steelers are going to win. I'm going to go on the opposite side and say, you know what? Ryan Tannehill has had a rebirth away from Adam Gase. Right. He's playing MVP-style football. I know it's only one. I'm going to take the Titans plus Titans, minus one.
And you're taking the point. All right. So
Devin Bush. Nobody stopped Derrick Henry up the middle.
Well, there it is. That's what we got. So we'll see how we do, and we'll know it on Monday. Bart is here to stay. I couldn't be happier. Appreciate you, brother. Great week. And I will see you Monday.
Holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.